One, two, three, go. Was that
okay,
better?
This time, guys, this is take two. The first time I was still talking about other stuff.
I feel we have to have like a go word, you know?
A go word? I mean, one, two, three is pretty good
start. The last time I did that, and then you start talking about something else.
True.
Yeah.
Let's not do that now.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, welcome back. As always, I'm Tyra.
I'm Sonia.
And this is Two Girls in Caution Tape. You know what to do. You can follow us on Instagram at Two Girls in Caution Tape. Follow us on Twitter, Two Girls in Caution Tape. You know, you do it. Oh, we have a website at anchor.fm/Two Girls in Talk. It's Two Girls in Caution Tape. The two is like the number two, not like
T-O.
Yeah, but also the key is next to one, not T-W-O. Okay, cool. And then let you guys know that next week there probably won't be an episode. We're a lot going on right now, and it's just gonna be like too much for us, probably. You know, and that's okay because sometimes you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah. We have a lot of changes coming.
Yeah, a lot of changes. Good changes. Good lives. Changes. Good changes, but changes nonetheless.
Yeah. So bear with us.
Yeah, today's episode is exciting because Sonia's going to be presenting it. So exciting!
That's definitely a TikTok sound.
Yeah, the one that's like so excited. and like just to let you know that like I just had a lot of coffee, so I'm going to be talking a lot. Although I don't like coffee, I had an iced chai latte.
I didn't know coffee affected you that much.
I think this is like I'm just hype. Like I'm just like nervous, probably. You know.
I think it might be because of what's happening in the next couple of days.
Yeah, so I'm like.
Because I also just had an iced chai.
Yeah, it's in the bathroom.
Oh, did I?
You didn't finish it.
Yeah, because I just came from there.
Yeah,
I saw your car.
Yeah, I saw your car. Yeah.
I didn't finish it.
Well.
Okay, I'm talking.
Okay, let's start. Okay.
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 So today's story is presented by me. So hopefully you enjoy.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so
the character... I'm trying to get close with you.
Okay.
The character?
I'm going to say character.
Okay, the character.
So, you know, we all have a physical or, like, doctor's appointments.
Oh, facts,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, you'd always walk it, and you love seeing happy people. Lovely faces. Uh-huh. The nurses, the doctors, always smiling, always there.
Oh, my God,
for
is this,
you.
Like, Dr. Death or something like that?
Not really.
Okay. We should do it on Dr. Death. Okay, cool. All right.
But close. Okay. You know? Okay. The nurses checking your temperature.
I think I've heard this case. Yeah.
You know, it's just love.
And you trust them because, like, they went to school for that shit, you know?
Yeah, and they just seem genuinely nice people.
Facts.
You go in this field to help people.
Yeah.
People that help are nice people.
Yes.
But not in this case.
Oh, shit.
Not in this case.
Oh, shit.
So the person that I'm talking about is Janine Jones.
Oh.
So Janine Jones was born July 13th, 1950. She was adopted by a nightclub owner and his wife.
Ooh.
So when I read that, I was like, very interesting, like, beginning.
Yeah, nightclub owner. That's dope as hell. Are you kidding?
I know. Like, I couldn't read much into her childhood, so... But it definitely didn't sound like she had, like, a bad childhood.
That's good. That's good.
Or, like, an amazing childhood. I think it was, like,
you know
as
what, like,
average as it gets.
Yeah. Do you know, like, what age she was adopted at? Like, almost
no.
immediately? Or?
But it sounds like she got almost immediately.
Okay, that's
it
good.
Wasn't any previous, like,
yeah.
trauma in her life. She had a very, you know, regular childhood, pretty regular life. Nothing that I could find that was out of the ordinary.
Okay, okay.
Jones worked as a beautician.
Yes.
At a point in life, and later attended nursing school in 1970s. So she was born in 1950, attended nursing school in 1970s.
She's like in her 20s.
So in her 20s,
oh,
she quit
sweet.
Beautician and went to nursing school.
Yes, we love a good nurse.
Throughout her life, she married her high school sweetheart in 1968.
Okay.
So 18. So,
dude, that's our age.
She literally got out of high school and got hit pretty
oh
fast and easy,
oh my god,
you know?
Oh my god, that's like
and
our age.
They had their first child in 1974.
Okay, so she was like 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They, however, soon after that, got divorced.
Okay.
And 3 years later, they got back together
yeah.
and had another kid in 1977.
Oh my god. This is This is like Love Island shit right here.
It is, but with a twist.
Yeah. You guys, if you haven't watched Love Island yet, do it.
It is.
The new season. Oh my God. Have you watched the episode that came out last night?
I have not.
Okay. I'll tell you about Atlas. It's the coolest drama goes down.
I've watched clips, but we get back
to it. Okay.
Okay. So Joan's career as a nurse obviously started in 1970 when she attended nursing school. And she was a licensed nurse.
Okay.
Not a registered nurse.
A licensed nurse.
There's a difference, which I'll explain later.
Okay, I don't know.
That is key to remember.
Okay, licensed, not registered.
So Jones worked as a nurse at the Bexar County Hospital, which today is known as the University Hospital of San Antonio, in the pediatric intensive care.
In Texas? Units.
Yes.
Okay, cool. In the pediatric?
Intensive care, so the ICU.
Oh my God, I know these terms from Grey's Anatomy.
I know. I was typing this and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God. It's
code red.
Yeah.
Code blue.
Yeah. I'm like, scalpel.
And as a nurse, her fellow coworkers had one image of her, and her patients had a very different image of her.
Okay, interesting.
Her coworkers described her as quite the opposite of what you would think a caring and kind nurse would be.
Yeah.
She often came in drunk. She was really aggressive. She would just, like, play around with medical equipment of patients. However, when it came to the patients, it was like another person.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I mean, it was like a cherry on top pilgrim lover.
Yeah.
You know.
I, you know,
Hail Mary Joseph or whatever.
It's like funny, but like it's also not, because it's like you're drunk handling like medical, like putting an IV in, you know, and stuff like that. Like,
see, when I read that, I was like, I'll get into it more, but I was like, wasn't this a reason to fire her already?
Yeah.
I mean, this was the 1970s, so maybe they let it slide, because I think it was the coworkers noticed it.
Yeah.
Not like big, you know, people, like, you know, it's like another nurse.
Yeah.
Was like,
yeah.
You good? And obviously she wasn't, you know. But I was, when I was reading this, I was like, isn't this like automatic, like, no?
Mm-hmm.
Out? Apparently it wasn't. So she was, by her coworkers, fellow nurses, she was loud, pretty aggressive, rude. However, when it came to patients, she was, as people from the, you know, from another point of view, the biggest kiss ass.
Really?
Oh, she was very sweet. She even tried to be sweeter than the sweetest nurses to really get close with the families. You know, from their point of view, this nurse was going above and beyond.
Oh my God. Okay.
To support them through their struggles.
You know, that's like what you want, but like, knowing that, like, she also was, like, you know, ever coming to work drunk and messing around, I'd be like, are you a two-faced bitch? I think so.
I mean, she was.
Yes, okay,
she
facts.
Definitely
yes.
Was.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting pattern to her, I guess, nice nurse side coming out was it only came out to a particular group of families. Not the wealthy with healthy babies. But to the less fortunate, who weren't as rich, and whose babies were, as you say, in the ICU because of, you know, they had problems at birth, they were going
like
through
born
surgery.
Premature or something,
Yeah, so they were in the intensive care.
Yeah.
Healthy babies don't go into the intensive care unit.
Facts, yes.
It's usually babies that are having trouble and that are having, you know, medical issues. And, of course, their mothers who are their mothers and their entire family who are distraught are going to lean on the most caring nurse.
Yeah, who, of course.
On hand would always be Jones.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Janine, okay.
Oh, if I didn't mention, Janine Jones, the main character of this episode, I'll be referring to as Jones.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit, kind of idea of what Jones was on paper.
Mm-hmm.
What people started to notice was most of the children that died in the ICU
were like, oh my God, no, oh my God, I guess.
Under the care of Jones. To the point where fellow colleagues called her shift,
like
which was from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yeah.
The deaths, the death shift.
They were like, oh God, oh my God. Like, as a nurse, like maybe you were her coworker or whatever, like leaving kids in like her care would be terrifying.
Exactly.
You know?
And so the reason that they were calling it a death shift, because obviously Jones wasn't the only nurse
around.
Around. Yeah. However, for some reason, and death is a given factor in any
especially in the ICU. It just happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
However, perfectly healthy children, children that would come out of surgery.
Yeah,
healthy. That went perfectly. Surgery that went perfectly, and everyone was like, you know, hallelujah, would be perfectly fine until the 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift.
Oh, my God.
With a nurse
that
was so close with the family.
Yeah.
That you would think she would do only...
like everything.
Everything to help these children.
Oh my God, it's awful.
It was even said that children were 10 times more likely to die during her 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. shift than any other shift in the ICU.
So it was just like a hospital, like the officials, I guess, they were like, that's what a coincidence. Or were they like, okay, fishy shit.
Well,
you know?
You'll see.
Okay.
What I've learned a lot about the medical field from... maybe my source isn't the best, a bunch of TV shows.
Ah.
Is there's actually a lot of politics, maybe even more politics and, you know, more politics control the hospital.
Yeah.
Than any medicine. Well,
not necessarily politics, like...
but like government, you know, like the hierarchy.
Like hospital politics.
Not like real politics, but like, you know, like stats.
Yeah.
Like, more people survive, the better the hospital, the more funding they get.
You just want, like, a good review.
Yeah. And so, obviously, the hospital was noticing this, and rumors were going around, and these deaths were happening in very mysterious ways. So, it's not something that they could kind of explain.
Okay.
Some kids would just be totally stable and then stop breathing.
Yeah.
Others would pretty much bleed uncontrollably.
Oh my God.
And bleed to death.
Okay.
So the hospitals were seeing these numbers, and of course rumors were going around.
Yeah.
However, the hospital didn't want to get sued.
Okay, well, just like imagine you have a brand new baby with your boyfriend or husband or fiance, whoever, or maybe you know, or your spouse, just whoever, and or maybe you have a little sibling, or maybe your grandchild, whatever, and you're like, okay, like they were, you know, they're nice to you, but like they're gonna come out of it and they're on the road to recovery, and then comes the death shift and you're like, oh my God, you know.
But like death shift, it wasn't like they don't know about the death shift.
Yeah, but still, like, but like say that your kid like starts getting worse suddenly, and you're like, what? Like it happens. But, like, it's probably not the rate at which it's happening here.
You know what I mean? And I actually read about some of the mothers of victims.
Yeah.
And a lot of these mothers, well, from these mothers, like, her son just got out of surgery. And he was 4 months.
Aww.
Son got out of surgery. Everything went perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And they were like, you can go home, like, relax, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
She goes home. He dies.
Aww.
So it was, like, one of those things where literally what people were, like, holding on to, like, hope, and they finally got that, like, white flag to be, like, you can...
Yeah. They wanted, like, everything to, like, come normal, be progressed.
Yeah, it's, like, that kind of tension is gone, and then they leave. And that happens. Well, obviously, these rumors were going around, and the hospital knew something was happening.
Yeah.
Their stats were off. Obviously, stats, you can think of less funding for the hospital.
Less people coming in.
The bureaucracy of the whole system was looking for money, and they weren't getting it. Mm-hmm. However, they also understood they couldn't just attack Jones, because there wasn't any proof. It was purely rumors. So to avoid getting sued and calling out Jones for causing all the deaths, they just made all the nurses...
Yeah.
All the licensed nurses, including Jones, resign, and they just restaffed the ICU with only registered nurses.
Oh my God, so a lot of people, like, lost their jobs because of this.
Well, not all of them. Some of them were restaffed. Jones was actually, I guess the hospital kind of felt bad because they heard the rumors and they thought like, oh, like this woman's being accused of like
witchcraft. No.
Of something like so they really pumped it up. They like, they even offered her a different position in the hospital.
Okay.
Just in a different area.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so Jones was a licensed nurse.
Not a
and all the licensed nurses were asked to resign or they were given a different position and they were staffed by registered nurses.
Okay.
And from that point on, there was no further investigation done by the hospital.
No further what?
Investigation.
Oh, okay.
Done by the hospital.
Okay.
So let me explain the difference between a licensed nurse and a registered nurse.
Okay.
A registered nurse can work independently in different areas. As in, they don't need kind of a doctor looking over them.
Okay.
And they don't need like superiors.
Yeah,
they themselves
all right.
kind of control.
Okay.
But
an
license,
RN. An RN. Yeah.
So that's what an
RN
is.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
like kind of what you need to take that big exam for and everything.
Yeah.
A licensed nurse is a little bit easier to get because the only thing you really do is make the patients comfortable.
Oh, okay.
As in, the maximum you do as a licensed nurse is you measure their pressure, you change bandages, you bring them water.
Which is still important work.
It's still important work. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing and key thing to remember is that licensed nurses are not allowed to provide
medicine. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They're not, they control no medicine.
Oh, so then, like, why did all these kids die if Janine was only a licensed nurse, right? She wouldn't have access to like these medicine things unless
she's not allowed to have access.
But she did anyway.
Because a licensed nurse. Because only RN nurses could handle any medicine.
Yeah.
Licensed nurse, you know, just makes you kind of comfortable and does the less hands-on work when it comes to medication itself. So after this whole debacle was over, if you look at Jones, this really only helped her.
Yeah.
Because not only was she offered another position within the hospital, which she rejected, she got a shit ton of golden recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
To go somewhere else. So it was pretty easy for her to find
another job.
Almost the exact same job.
Oh, my God.
But just 60 miles away. In a town called Kerrville, Texas, which was 60 miles away from San Antonio.
Okay.
Another fact to remember is that after Jones chose to leave the hospital and reject that other position that she was offered, the deaths mysteriously
stopped. Oh my God.
I mean, of course, there were deaths.
Yeah.
But not in a mysterious manner. So she went to work in Kerrville, Texas, which was just a small town, and she worked in the clinic there.
Okay.
And this was actually where the real Jones was discovered.
Okay.
The doctor at the clinic discovered puncture marks in a bottle of, I'm gonna pronounce this wrong, but cyanocholine.
Oh my God. suicincholine
in the drug storage, which only she and Jones had access to.
Oh, the doctor is she. Okay.
The doctor.
Yes. She's like, I didn't do this.
Yes. She's like, and then it was later discovered that although the bottle looked full, she noticed the puncture mark, but it was actually the liquid inside was diluted. With water.
Oh my God.
So it wasn't really the drug. So let's talk about the drug.
The S drug.
The S drug. I'm going to say the S drug.
Suicincholine.
So actually, it's a very powerful but short-term paralytic.
Okay.
Drug which causes temporary paralysis of the skeletal muscles and the diaphragm. So a patient has very little control, control of breathing.
Yeah.
The drug itself is used in general anesthetics.
It's used during general anesthetics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anesthesia. So, for example, you know, when you get your, when you go under for any surgery or even to get your wisdom teeth out. Yeah,
you use. You use semicolon? No.
They do, but they also monitor you.
Yes.
They control your breathing. Yeah.
There's an anesthesiologist for a reason.
Yeah. It's not a fun, not a drug you should play around with.
Yeah, don't go taking this on the weekend, kids.
Yes. If, for example, a patient is ingested with this with no control of what's going on, they will stop breathing. And for small children, for example, cardiac arrest will result of deoxygenation because of lack of the respiratory system. Yeah. So obviously the doctor found out that the only two people that had access to the storage was
herself and Jones.
And Jones. When confronted, Jones defended herself and said that she was trying to replicate the pediatric intensive unit in Kerrville.
Why?
Which I was really confused about.
Yeah.
Because if that is a drug you're using, how are you replicating it?
Yeah. Like, you're, like nurses are, like, they run the hospitals, really. Like, you can't get work without them. But at the same time, it's, like, you're a licensed nurse. You're not a registered nurse. Like, how do you know how to recreate this drug? You know, he has some, like, very, very massive chemistry background to be able to redo this.
And so I kind of watched a mini documentary on it. And I couldn't find anything. For some reason, for me, I would think that... To me, it just sounded like Jones. They kind of figured out Jones, and they got Jones really fast.
Well, that's
good. It wasn't like a process. She didn't really.
I think what you're saying is like it's like a smaller hospital, smaller town. So they're kind of like.
I mean, if you say like, there's two people, obviously the doctor's like, well, I'm the one that found it. The other person is Jones.
Yeah.
And Jones isn't, you know, the master criminal mind, so she doesn't have a backup plan of like, if they discover me, I will. Run for it.
But I just imagine, what if it's, okay, let's play the episode of an advocate. Maybe it was the doctor. The doctor was like, oh my god, I found this punctured bottle of drugs. Who the hell did that? You know what I mean?
Like, what?
This is good, put my acting skills to the test. The doctor was like, oh my god, who the hell punctured this bottle? The only person has access to this is Nurse Jones. And a nurse comes over and she's like, what do you do? And the nurse is like, oh my god, I had no idea that was punctured.
Is this a dangerous drug?
Yeah.
What? I'm only
a licensed
nurse.
She's like, I was just trying to replicate that pediatric intensive care unit.
But I don't even get that. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Trying to recreate the pediatric
intensive care. And like I said before, as a licensed nurse, she shouldn't be giving people drugs, right? She should just be like...
So why was she even...
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, like, if this was a small town and this was just a clinic, maybe she, you know, like, took on the job.
Okay, facts, yeah.
It's like, the doctor wasn't punished, so obviously the doctor wasn't doing anything wrong.
Right.
Because, like, if a doctor made a licensed nurse...
Yeah.
...take on a registered nurse, those are, like, different things.
But, yeah.
You know, that's...
Yeah.
To me, that sounds like sending a policeman into the military, like...
It's like sending the police department to come help with your fire, you know?
Yeah. It's like they.
It's like, no, I don't need you. I need someone else, you know?
Yeah, like obviously you can't. They don't.
Yeah, it's like having a plumber come fix your like oven, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, in 1985, Jones was sentenced to 99 years. For the murder.
So this is how she got discovered, was with this punctured bottle.
Was with this punctured bottle.
Okay.
For the murder of 15-month-old Chelsea McMillan with the acetylcholine. S-drug.
Yeah, the S-drug. Okay, wow.
And then, obviously, after she was this was discovered.
Yeah.
More research was being put in. Into the university, into the
like investigation,
Bexar County Hospital where she worked previously.
Yeah,
and that is when she was sentenced to another 60 years for the attempted murder of Ronaldo Santos with a different drug, however.
Oh,
epinephrine.
Okay, epinephrine is like it's
prevents blood clots.
Yeah, Yeah.
So what it does is the drug itself.
It's a blood thinner, right?
It's a blood thinner. It's like ibuprofen. So if you have a blood clot,
yeah,
you get the drug, so it thins out your bloodstream, yeah, and gets rid of the clot.
At least we think.
Exactly. However, if you have perfectly healthy blood stream, no blood clots, and you put the drug in, a simple cut,
you can bleed out, right?
You will bleed out to death.
That's like some like very old like true crime like movies. You'd see people like give people a lot of ibuprofen, and then they'd be like, "Tell me the truth," and then cut your wrists, then you bleed out because like ibuprofen's also blood thinner, and so yeah.
Exactly. And so Ronaldo Santos was also a young child in the now University of San Antonio Hospital,
mm-hmm,
who at the time that Jones was there started, yeah, bleeding out,
okay,
from his ears and eyes, and no one understood
the eyes? Oh what my was God. Happening.
However, yeah, a young medical resident,
oh, yes, who
just, you know, gone to position.
Yeah.
Dr. Copeland realized that the child was bleeding out, uh-huh, and realized, well, obviously he realized that it was bleeding out because he could see that someone's bleeding out. But he realized that this was not natural.
Yeah.
And that someone was poisoning the child and tried to give the child a different drug, mm-hmm, that would reverse the effect. And that different drug was protamine.
Where is it? Yeah, protamine.
Protamine to reverse the drug and henceforth save the life. However, this situation,
they were like, "Who the hell did it?"
Connected to Jones.
Oh my God.
And this, and so to her 99 years, yeah, sentence was another 60 years. However, in May of 2016, to that point, Jones was held at the Lane Murray unit in Texas, in the Texas Department.
So of she's gone. Justice. She can't hurt any more kids. And, yeah.
She was gone. However, she was scheduled for a mandatory release in 2018 because of the Texas law mandate to prevent prison overcrowding.
Yeah, because she, okay, here's my issue with that. She's a violent offender in the sense that she killed people, but like she didn't kill people with like shooting them in the head. You know what I mean? But then at the same time, like.
But babies.
Yeah. No, no, I get
that. How many serial killers kill babies?
No, that's true. The thing is, it's just like, if she's released, like, where, how else would she get access to, like, the S drug, you know what I mean? And, like, do that again, because no hospital's ever going to hire her again. At the same time, she still doesn't deserve to walk out because she still killed people. Especially babies.
2018, she was 68. Because today she's 70.
Oh, okay.
So, even if she was released, I don't think she would.
Hey, you never know.
That is true.
Yeah.
You never know. However, to prevent this, Jones was indicted on May 25th, 2017, for the murder of 11-month-year-old Joshua Sawyer.
Oh.
Nicole Hood, the Bexar County District Attorney, stated that more charges could be filed against Jones for the death of other children. However, she cut a deal by saying that if she admitted to the murder of 11 of Joshua Sawyer,
yeah,
the other four
would be dismissed.
Okay. And from that point on, she was later sentenced to life in prison and will not be eligible for parole until she is 87 years old.
Okay.
So in 2037. Now, before I continue this murder story.
You don't have to do it now.
We have a fun fact.
Okay. All right. We talk about like weird serial killers today, and I kind of went along that theme too. So this is a very interesting case because in 2005, 2008, the early mid 2000s, women started disappearing in Macedonia, like northern Macedonia. So this is, you know, ex Yugoslavia, ex Soviet Union. You know, it's an interesting place. Apparently, Macedonia is really beautiful. So like, go visit. So basically what happened is that this guy, this career journalist. His name was Vlado Taneski, and he was covering. So basically, this journalist, he covered the disappearances and murders of these women. And to everyone's surprise, the articles he was writing were like hella good. Like, this is the stuff that us two kind of trying people, like, we want the articles to be like this, but not for this reason. Can you guess why he was so accurate? Because, like, he either knew the guy who was doing it, he either, like, either the police had, like, some clue, or, you know, maybe it was him.
From my previous knowledge of all the serial killer shows I watched, I'm going to have to say, was it him?
Yeah, it actually was. And, yeah, he was covering his own murders. And even though I think he kind of wanted to be like a bigger murderer, but he only managed to murder three people, probably like four. Mm-hmm. And these women were all a little bit older, you know, in their late 50s, early 60s. So yeah, like, he's just the douchebag, and he killed himself in prison shortly after he was arrested.
Do you know how much time was it there in between every murder?
So one person was murdered November 16th, 2004. That's when they disappeared. Mm-hmm. Then another person was disappeared November 20, 2007. So 3 years later. Mm-hmm. Another person then disappeared May 7th, 2008. So you turned 6 years old. But basically, like, if you think about, like Ted Bundy, like, they didn't, like, start off with, like, one murder every other day. They started off, like, really slow, like, one murder, then, like, a year later, another one, then, like, a few months later, another one. So, mm-hmm. He was kind of going to start to go down a spiral, but he was a dumbass and got caught because he wrote the articles himself.
Oof.
Yeah. So, that's our fun true crime fact of the podcast. Let's get back to what happened to Nurse Jeanine Jones.
Yeah, so we ended up on saying that as of today,
yeah,
she's going to stay. So she's sentenced to life in prison, but she isn't eligible for parole until she's 87. So in the next 17 years. So she has 17 years and then she might be eligible for parole. But if you're eligible for parole, that doesn't mean you're actually going to get parole.
Yeah, it's just you're eligible for it.
It's just like people can think about it.
They'll be like, yeah.
So we don't know what's going to happen, but a lot of Jeanine Jones herself, mm-hmm. is thought to have killed over 60 kids.
Oh yeah. Maybe not like directly, but like,
however, it is really hard to prove.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Because as we've mentioned before, the S drug, once it gets in your system, breaks down really fast.
Yeah.
So if your kid dies, you're not really gonna be like, what happened? It just dies, you know? And she did most of these killings in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And she went from one hospital to another. Yeah. And so it's really hard to figure out what deaths are connected to her and which ones are not.
Oh yeah.
However, from their calculations, I believe she has killed over more than 60 kids.
Oh my god.
But they have only been able to connect four.
This is a total random question, but do you know how long she was at the hospital and was it Kerrville for before she got caught? It was like a years or so, or was it a few months or weeks or?
I'm not sure, but I'm thinking, so she, the murder she committed happened between 1970s and 1980s.
Oh, okay. So it was in those 10-year span. Okay, okay, yeah. Okay, cool. This wasn't going on for like 50 plus years, no.
No.
Yeah.
However, after leaving the hospital and doing more investigation, she was charged from the hospital. She was charged with poisoning six children, not killing.
What's the difference?
For example, like,
poison can be reversed.
Attempted murder.
Oh,
of, like,
yeah. Okay.
She poisoned him.
But like, he survived.
He was able to survive. For actually some of the, there was one murder. It was, I believe, of Rosemary.
Okay.
This was another child. So a doctor in Sweden was able as this investigation was going on, Americans discovered this doctor in Sweden who was able to identify if the S drug ever existed in the body.
What do you
even
mean?
Even after it breaks down.
Oh, okay.
Because once the drug goes in, it breaks down. It breaks down.
So you just have to go yell at her family.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways, yes, drug. Once it goes in, it breaks down.
It breaks down, so it's really hard to identify. You cannot find it in the blood system.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where it goes, but you can no longer find it. The Swedish doctor. Not Swiss. Okay. I know I'm saying it wrong. I fixed myself. I caught myself.
Yeah, you got yourself.
Was able to identify this S drug in tissue.
Oh, okay.
If it ever existed in your body, he was able to find traces of it in your tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the victims, this four-month-year-old girl, was actually dug up.
Oh my God.
From her grave.
Bodies can be exhumed. This is true, but
she was dug up, and yes, she was found to have the S drug in her tissue.
Oh my God.
And the interview that I watched with the officers, it was like, how they described it, it's like you see, it looks like a doll on the table.
Oh my God.
And you have to remind yourself that it's a human. And as I was like reading about this case, I think the reason I wanted to do its research on it, was because, first of all, it's a nurse killer.
Yeah.
Probably the one field you'd expect a serial
killer. Well, I was thinking of that. Like, we put so much trust in medical professionals, and you should, because most of the people want to help. Like, 99.9% of medical professionals just want to help and like be good to the society. But like, you get a little, like, we'll cover Dr. Death eventually.
Mm-hmm.
This guy also insane. So like, you know, like the fact that like, if you're a mom and you just have a baby, like, and like your nurse is Nurse Jones, I'd be like, oh my God, you know, like.
But you don't even know she's.
Yeah, yeah, but
you
like,
put so much trust in.
Yeah, yeah, but like now in the future, I'm gonna be like, eh. But I'm gonna be like, wait a second, like you're probably fine, you know. But.
And the thing is, the other thing that caught me was babies.
Yeah.
I feel like at least the idea, you know,
she has a kid.
I don't even know what happened to her kids. She had two kids.
Oh my God.
The thing is, I always feel like a lot of serial killers have like a childhood and then something happens that messes up.
That's true.
That something, you know, not it.
Yeah.
I might be basing this off the series I have watched, but I think the reason a lot of serial killers don't kill babies and like they kind of, you know, even in movies, like when a kid pops in, it's like everything stops and everyone's like,
Or like a dog.
Because babies represent
like
innocence.
Yeah, impurity.
However, this serial killer.
Yeah.
At all, like 4 months.
Is young.
Is the purest innocence I could think of.
Yeah.
Because, you know, three-year-olds, they can pull your hair. They can be a little bit annoying.
They can copy the effort if you say it too much.
Yeah, so it's like, if we're talking level of innocence, a four-month-year-old has more innocence than a three-year-old, but they're all the most innocent creature other than animals.
Oh, yeah.
I can think of. And this person killed them.
Generally, I wouldn't go around killing anyone because, like, don't do that.
Yeah, but, like, out of all the serial killers we have read about, this is the first one that attacked only babies.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That does totally freak me out. And it's just, like, it's kind of unexpected. It's totally like, you know, when you like watch news reports, for example, and they're like, four bodies were found on this farm in Kentucky. And then like, and there's also a dog. Everyone's like, the dog has been alone. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you like things that like show innocence and like can't do things wrong yet. Those are the type of like beings that like you want to like protect the most, because you're like, oh my God, like the world can hurt you, you know. And like, I maybe she had like really bad post-traumatic stress or maybe she had really bad postpartum depression, not part of maybe it's part of maybe she had really bad depression after she had her kids. Maybe like the divorce really got to her and she was like, I just like but families.
But then
she got
divorced, and then they got back together.
Yeah, it's complicated.
But another fun fact. I mean, I think she was kind of fine within the love life area.
Yeah, she's fucked up though.
Because she was engaged to be married to a 19-year-old when she was imprisoned, and then the 19-year-old broke up with her.
She's fine, but, like, that's creepy as hell.
It is. But let me tell you something else. It's, to me, this is the part where I still don't know what to think of her.
Uh-huh.
Because during the trials.
Yeah.
One of the testimonies was a mother of a child.
Yeah.
That was discovered to have the S drug.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying how she was... She, you know, she saw something was off. She called 911. She was just telling the story and how her child literally stopped breathing in her arms.
Yeah.
It was a human and then it was a doll, a ragged doll that just was limp in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
And the entire room, the judge, the jury, the
audience, everyone
was sobbing. There wasn't a dry eye except. Yeah.
Nurse Jones.
Jones.
You can tell that she planned this shit because she was being, like, most caring nurse, you know? Because, like, if you, like, it sounds awful, but, like, in, like, the service industry, like, you say you're, like a waiter, you know?
Yeah.
Say the food's taking forever, but if you're super nice, you know, the people that are waiting for the food, like, the customers are going to be nicer anyways. The same thing kind of goes here, like, if, like, you know, the... If you're super nice, if you're a really good nurse and, but, like, something bad happens, the parents won't be, like, they'll be upset, but maybe they won't be as, like, mad, you know?
True.
So she's trying to, like, cover up her tracks. Like, so you can tell she's going to do it again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. But the other interesting thing is when she was taken to trial in 2018, they searched her room, her cell,
yeah,
and found a Bible. Which they took into their custody because they thought it was
weird, whatever.
Important.
Yeah.
They wanted to see what it was.
Yeah.
And she had actually written notes in the Bible.
Oh, cool.
And all the notes were pointing to Satan and children.
What the fuck? Okay.
And sin. And I don't know if it was in the back of the Bible or on one of the pages of the Bible, but she was alluding to the fact that she was paying for what she has done.
Interesting. Okay.
Which I feel like if as a person you're saying that you're paying for something you have done, you're obviously saying something wrong that needs to be paid for.
Sure.
So I don't know if, you know, now I'm like, you're not crazy. You understand what you did wrong. Like, do you have a soul? Do you not, you know?
Yeah, it's like, does she understand, like, is she sane enough to understand that what she did is wrong? Because, like, I feel like anyone who especially kills babies, you gotta be like, oh shit, like, that's a lot. But at the same time, like, if you did it over and over again and then you go to prison for it, it doesn't really sound like she's remorseful because she didn't cry at the trial. So she probably was just like, it happened. Like, yeah, so, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I always like to play devil's advocate, but in this case, I'm kind of really hesitant too because she doesn't seem like she cares at all. Even if she's trying to, like, say that she recognized she did something wrong, just because you recognize she did something wrong doesn't mean you feel remorse for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this murder story definitely took the country by surprise.
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of, I want to say, benefited from it, just from the story that got along with it. You know, Janine Jones was kind of portrayed in a lot of pop culture that we have today. She was portrayed by Susan Rutten in a television movie called Deadly Medicine.
Oh.
That
sounds like the coolest fake drama ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not fake drama, but like cheesy acting movie.
Yeah. And we have the classic Discovery Channel documentary, Lethal Injection. Then we have
There's so many opportunities for good names here.
I know. We have season 5, episode 10 of Forensics Files.
Oh.
Very popular.
I watch Forensics Files sometimes.
Nursery Crimes. And she was in a British docuseries, Nurses Who Kill. And as well as in the series, I actually don't know this one, Dark Secrets. Season 2, episode 4.
Yeah, I've not heard that.
Deadly Woman. Wow. And she is said to be inspired by Annie Wilkes from Stephen King's book Misery.
Stephen King's
book Misery.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is the story of Jeanine Jones, as she's sometimes called the Angel of Death.
Ooh.
The Death Shift Nurse.
Yeah, holy shit. Oh my god. I just gonna
know. A serial killer that will haunt new mothers forever.
Like, I have so much respect for women and nurses and, you know, men who are nurses, anyone who's a nurse, because you truly do run hospitals. And I think especially right now, this pandemic, it's like super crucial to respect and like love our medical health professionals. But this case is just like unacceptable. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, no. And I would just say like, that's like a 1 million lifetime chance. And, you know, she ain't no Nurse Jackie. She's a Nurse Jeanine Jones.
She is the Angel of Death.
Facts. Yeah. As always, you can follow us on Instagram at Dear Girls on the Caution Tape. Follow us on Twitter at the exact same thing. You should, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars. Recommend us to friends. Visit our Instagram page. You know what to do. As always, I'm Tyra.
Sonia. Deuces.